Monero has been very steadfast in its approach with dealing with regulators. Its stance being we're building digital cash, and we're not here to bend the knee to any state or any regulator. If exchanges want to delist us, so be it. We're not going to change the protocol in any way to help them comply. Curious how Zano intends on dealing with these issues. What's your perspective on that?
So I think it doesn't even matter what our actions would be, because thanks to the idea of open source, that the technology itself will survive anyway. And even if they find the way how to get to some particular people anyway, I think that's the power of crypto, the true decentralized crypto, is that we are building not the tools, we're building technology, we're inventing stuff that is basically as ideas. We are creating ideas. Mm-hmm. And we maintain tools, we do the tools, but the ideas are way more permanent than tools. So
Monero Talk is sponsored by Cake Wallet, a trustless open source wallet that gives you the keys to your crypto. Invoice, donate, and trade your Monero with peace of mind, piece of cake. And by StealthyX, an instant exchange where privacy is a top concern. Go to StealthyX.io to instantly exchange between Monero and 450 plus assets without having to create an account or register, and with no limits, making StealthyX a simple way to purchase Monero with crypto anonymously. Monero Talk is also made possible from contributions by viewers and listeners like you. And supporting us is easier than ever by typing in MoneroTalk.crypto in your Monero.com or Cake Wallet send address field to send us a tip.
This week on Monero Talk.
In part two, Douglas Tooman's interview with Andre starts with a discussion about CryptoNote white paper author Nicholas Van Saberhagen, aka the Satoshi of Monero, and his potential thoughts on Monero and Zano and what he may think about how the CryptoNote protocol has evolved since inventing it. The conversation delves into Zano's confidential assets feature and use cases such as creating a privacy-focused stablecoin and decentralized bridges for exchanging assets from other blockchains. They also cover regulatory challenges and the project developments that make Monero and Zano censorship resistant. Monero Talk starts now.
Can you give us any insight into his kind of thoughts on Monero these days? Like, is he still aware of the Monero project? Does he pay attention to it, or he's working on other things? I'm just curious what his...
He doesn't work on crypto, as far as I know. He works in a kind of very different things, also kind of rocket science, but he's not involved in crypto as a part of any project. Maybe I read the news sometimes, and that's it.
Wow, amazing. But does he say anything about Monero? I mean, because it's the most successful version of CryptoNote. It's working as intended. Does he see it as realizing what his vision was when he wrote the CryptoNote protocol? I mean, obviously, you can't completely get into his head, but I'm just curious, like, is it something that gets discussed or talked about? Or, I mean, I would think he'd be very happy to see that CryptoNote is flourishing in the form of Monero.
Again, I never asked him this thing, but I believe, as a creator of this technology, I think it's just my idea, my feeling that, of course, he is glad that it's alive, it's improving. Mm-hmm. I think he probably has some bitter taste from the beginning, but there was a lot of toxic stuff, and probably for that reason, I don't know. But I think he's glad that it's kind of succeed in a form of Monero Of course.
Yeah, I mean, it's his creation after all, right? Like he was, you know, very much a part of its genesis.
I will try to bring him on Monerotopia, but I asked him, but he always kind of skeptical about this. I don't know why.
So we talked about proof of stake. The other major addition was confidential assets. You talked about that a little bit, but give us a little more insight into that. Like, what is the most powerful thing we can do with confidential assets? Like, what do you envision it being used for? Use cases.
In Zana, you can only transact with this so far. Also, you can do something that we call the Onyx swaps. But basically, you can safely exchange one asset to another asset. And I'm not good in pitching things.
Okay.
Pavel do it better. Pavel do it way better. Yeah. But as I said...
Well, before, let me ask... Okay, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah, as I said before, I think the most job that we'll be doing in the next year and maybe 2 years is building ecosystem around this platform, because having assets itself, it's cool, but not much things you can do with this. And if we can bring liquidity from other projects, and if we can create a safe, secure opportunity to link other assets into Zana or into Fira or any other projects, that's going to be really useful. And that's the idea of confidential layer. That's the project that's going to be bridge those assets, but without having a weakness point of custody. It's going to be Shamir shared secret between the group of people who... So it won't exist, the private key itself. So it's kind of safe way to bridge things between the projects. That's what we think will be making this assets useful. If you can link some useful tokens, for example, from Ethereum or from any EVM network, and in a secure way, you can bring it into Zana as a platform, that's going to be a really useful thing. That's what we're going to be working on for the next year, I think.
And just so that would be like kind of like a wrapped Monero type thing. Is that?
Things that the bridge that can wrap sync into Zana or into Fira or any project that support assets. But that's the thing is, it's not going to be controlled by one entity. It's going to be controlled by a group of I don't know how to say it. It's going to be like a participants. Yeah, it's like 100 nodes or I don't know how much it's going to be, but it's going to be group that will be signing transactions for a wrap or unwrap. So it's going to be hard to steal something from the bridge.
And so it would function like a decentralized exchange kind of in that regard. No?
Decentralized bridge, I would say. Not exchange. Probably it's going to be at some point exchange, but it's going to be bridge. It was a project... It was RenBTC project, I think, that FTX was bought some time ago, and then they ripped everything from this project. But the idea, technical idea, is very similar that was implemented in this project. We'll use Shamir shared secret for this. In a simple word, it's going to be some sort of a big multisig. We can speak about this as a multisig.
I know one of the projects that I'm excited about when I hear confidential assets on top of Zano is like a stable privacy coin, right? To that, what would that potentially look like? What's the pathway towards a stable privacy coin on Zano?
I actually don't know because that's kind of if you ask me from financial perspective how it would be, I have no idea. Honestly, I don't have any opinion about this because it's not my
field. Yeah, like on a technological, you know, like would it use like
from technological perspective
or something, or
It's gonna be, I don't know, it's gonna be token that pegged to some price, for example, $1. Theoretically, it could be USDT or USDC bridged into DANA, the most obvious thing. But it's create another weakness point, because if it's gonna be bridged via contract, they can kind of block it, blacklist the address. So it's probably gonna be something more complicated. It's gonna be something, probably it's going to be another token that will be linked one-to-one to stable coins from Ethereum. I don't know, probably, or some other way. We have few companies that contacted us recently. Pavel just said today in the morning at the office when we were drinking coffee, he said that there is a company that is interested in building a stable coin. So, but honestly, I don't know how it's going to be.
Okay. Well, it's exciting because nobody's really cracked that nut yet, right? I mean, we saw people attempting to do algorithmic privacy stablecoins.
Yeah.
That didn't work out. Hasn't worked out to date. So nobody's really solved that problem yet.
It's actually going to be the most useful thing, I think, for transaction. Of course, that's the practical thing. That's how people use crypto these days, actually. They use a couple of tokens for the staple coins. The rest is used for gambling, I guess. And
right.
And for
And then it can conceivably be eventually pretty easy then to go to swap between these two, right? Using like whatever this new privacy stable coin is on Xano, to go between that and Monero, right? Like things like that.
All
that will become easy to do in this ecosystem.
That's the idea. That's what we want to build. Let's see how it goes.
one of the things you mentioned, this is why I like talking to you, man. You're very honest and genuine in your responses. You know, you don't fluff things up. You're not a salesman.
I'm not, definitely.
No. I think that's why the Monero community listens when you speak as well. One of the things you mentioned was the decoy selection algorithm, that you guys made some improvements to that. Is that related to like improvements that Monero was making, or it was like your own spin on it?
Of course, we watched it, what Monero was doing. We actually was quite late with decoy selection algorithm. We, for a long time, we used not the optimal one. And that's me to be blamed for this. And of course, we saw Monero has a lot of iterations of improving this. You can even see it in the code base. There is a lot of different kind of magic numbers and research, like a lot of statistical work was made on this. And I'm not that good in statistical stuff. So we decided to go a little bit different way. I'm not trying to say that we are better or not better. I don't know. It's different projects, and we have a different patterns of spending coins. We have a different stuff, so we need a different approach, and we tried to collect data as much as we could do. Some data we collected from we asked for a few services to give us the anonymized data from the wallet that has a long and a big history. We did some we took some our wallets that we had a long history. We also did on-chain research, because some of the outputs was de-anonymized a little bit. So we used this data, and we created a model that represented the typical pattern of spending in Xana. And this will be changing with the time. For example, tomorrow we will have another few services that run on Xana network, and they have a different pattern. They make impact on this typical distribution of the coins that wallet use, and it's going to be easier to adjust this distribution. So we made the this distribution like a table that represents the curve that shows the pattern of the typical coin selection from the wallet in real life. So the coin selection algorithm uses this pattern to imitate it to be the maximum close, as close as possible. And of course, we also will have we will probably have a few iterations of improving this. We will see. We'll try to see how it fits or doesn't fit. We'll probably hire some third party to make analysis and improve it. But yeah, that's our approach. We'll do data-driven analysis and do data-driven configuration.
Very cool. Cool. And like we said, obviously, ultimate goal is zero knowledge proofs, and then we just deprecate.
Yes, and we, throw it away.
Do we know if Nicholas Van Saberhagen has any thoughts on zero knowledge proofs coming to CryptoNote? But obviously, that's another one. You know, would love to know what he would. Obviously, I would think he would be
for a full membership proof or for what
full membership proofs, right?
Yeah.
CryptoNote evolving into deprecating ring signatures and using full membership proofs. I mean, that's a big change. I'm curious what his thoughts would be on that.
Look, I think I'm not in a position to speak from him, but I can ask him. I can ask him if he is willing to give a comment about this. But the reason he's not commenting stuff and not willing to participate, it's not that he is like, don't like you guys. Definitely, it's not this. He's just a shy person. He doesn't think that it's matter what he says.
No,
not to be on the spot.
And also
for now,
I would think just for security, right? Privacy, security, right? Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a cypherpunk. I would think he'd want to, maintain his privacy if he could, and anonymity if he could.
I can try to ask him, but cannot promise anything.
Yeah, no worries.
I
wouldn't want to be the guy responsible for outing Nicholas Van Zandt. In no way would I want to be responsible for that. Just very curious what his comments and thoughts are.
I am also curious what he would say, but you have to understand that because I know him and I really understand how much appreciation he deserved, that I wanted probably the most person that I want the most that he will be somewhere on the public, and I can sit here. Mm-hmm. Here is the guy who invented stuff, and nothing I can do about this.
No worries. But he's more than welcome to Monerotopia. Definitely, I'll definitely get a VIP ticket. No worries.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. He would be amazing to have. Monero, we're seeing attacks on Monero, right? I mean, the governments around the world are calling out the use of these technologies. Some places have banned the use of them. Some people, other places, they're just talking about how they want to handle these technologies. Monero has been very steadfast in its approach with dealing with regulators. Its stance being we're building digital cash, and we're not here to bend the knee to any state or any regulator. If exchanges want to delist us, so be it. We're not going to change the protocol in any way to help them comply. Curious how Zano, intends on dealing with these issues. What's your perspective on that?
Well, so far we are way more under radar. Not much people knows about us. I don't think any regulators in the world even heard about Dana Project so far. I wish I would say that we would be stand our ground and we will be till the end with ideas of privacy. But you never know what's going to happen. You never know how or what government will make to you. personally or physically. So I think it doesn't even matter what our actions would be, because like thanks to idea of open source that the technology itself will survive anyway. And even if they find the way how to get to some particular people anyway, I think that's the power of crypto, the true decentralized crypto, is that we are building not the tools, we're building technology, we're inventing stuff that is basically as ideas. We are creating ideas. Mm-hmm. And we're building, we maintain tools, we do the tools, but that's will be the tools that, I mean, the ideas are way more permanent than tools. So doesn't even matter what I think or what I believe I would do in case of some troubles or I don't know, whatever Xano face in the future. I have no idea.
I guess just Xano as a whole, what direction you see it going in. I mean, what is the understanding with among the, you know, those who make these decisions in the project and the community itself of what direction the project would go? And let's say, for example, getting delisted from exchanges potentially, would the project perhaps
we don't have much expectations from exchanges. That's why for that reason we're building bridging technology, and for now we have exchanges that are don't hesitate to list us, and that's good. We can help to make maintain financial health for the project, but we don't have much illusions about exchanges for Xano, and that's for that reason confidential layer is a part of the bigger picture. We want to build a system that the whole system that will resist such things in a better way, and I believe the Xano will face same problems in the future as Monero has right now. Especially the listings will be quite, you can make sure about this. It's probably happened. Yeah, I think it's going to happen at some point. Yeah, that's not what we fear. I don't perceive this as a real troubles as delisting from some exchange. I didn't mean this when I was speaking about real troubles.
But I wanted to make that clear to everybody, right? Because I mean that's different than, for example, Zcash, where the community over there, the culture over there, seems to be more amenable to dealing with regulators, as opposed to what you're saying, what I agree with, and what the Monero community agrees with, building tech that, you know, acts as private crypto, and the regulators can figure out how to deal with it on their own, but not allowing their opinions and their power to affect or influence the culture of the project. Well, like you said, whether or not they have the power to do things.
From that perspective, I think it's even interesting. I thought about more things like if they're going to put us in a jail or something like that. That case, you don't know what you're going to do. Yeah, probably I'm going to quit the project and say, do whatever we want. I don't want to be in prison for the end of my days. But if you speak about such things, it's a kind of challenge. It's even more interesting, especially we have a background. Sorry, I'll make this. That's good. Especially we have a background and knowledge how to build things and how to accept this challenge, how to overcome these problems. We believe we can do it. Yeah, that's even interesting too, because probably other projects is going to be facing same issues, and if we will be the one who will overcome this, that's going to be great. Mm-hmm. That's another opportunity for the projects, for our community.
Yep. Just thinking other thoughts of the questions that I don't know if I've ever asked you in the past, or I don't know with regards to, does Xano have dynamic blocks? It does, right? I mean, it has that aspect of Monero as well. Dynamic blocks.
What is it?
I guess it doesn't.
Dynamic, you mean the size of the block?
Yeah,
it's the same. It's the same.
Okay. It's the same, and then it has the tail emission.
Yep. Yeah, we have also tail emission.
Oh, I guess that's another thing to talk about, right? Because with these changes you're doing, I think I've heard this concept of burning coins or burning transaction fees being implemented.
In Xano?
In Xano, I'm thinking of that now because we're talking about tail emission, and so that leads to kind of coin supply conversation. But get into that a little bit. What's this?
From technology perspective, from consensus perspective, it doesn't have any practical values for me as engineer to secure the, even if it doesn't make it even better. But this was a kind of financial motivation to create the project, to make project deflational. That's why we did this. We also tweaked a little bit consensus to motivate people, include the transactions in the block, even though the fee is burned. We need to miners to include transactions. So we tweaked a little bit consensus to prefer the blocks with transactions. But yeah, we decided to burn it to create a financial incentive.
Do you love coffee and Monero as much as we do? Consider making gratuitous.org your daily cup. Pay with Monero for premium fresh beans, and if you like what you taste, send a digital cash tip directly to the Guatemalan farmers that made it possible. Proceeds help us grow this channel, Gratuitous, and Monero.
So explain that a little bit more. What exactly is being burnt, you know, for people who are just hearing this the first time?
Traditionally, like historically, and that was how Bitcoin was created originally, that the block has a block reward. That's a motivational part that pay out to miners that they, for securing the blockchain history. And also every transaction include the fee that it's paid to network for including this transaction into the blockchain. And originally in Bitcoin and for most of the projects, this fee was included in the block reward and was given to miners. And originally the idea was that when the Bitcoin block reward will be lower with years, and when it comes to real low values, the transaction flow would be enough to cover, to motivate miners and maintain the miners to have a high hash rate to secure the network. But it's even like a few years ago been obvious that this probably not gonna work for Bitcoin and not gonna work for most of other projects. So that was a good idea to use a tail emission to secure the consensus if you don't have expected transaction flow in your network. Yeah. So, and then also was idea to burn, I think it was first, it was in Ethereum. I think they burn fees. And it's turned out it's good. It's kind of a good motivation for people. They perceive the project as a deflational because you have a constantly inflate of the coins in the project. So people like to feel about it. It's a deflation. It's going to be cost more and more and more. I think it's trigger some basic instincts about feeling about profits. That's
right. It makes it arguably more scarce. Do you foresee that potentially working in a project like Monero?
I honestly don't have much opinion about this. As I say, that I think it's created for motivation people, but for me, it doesn't make much difference. I don't think, I would say it's not really important for me as for engineer who is thinking about technical challenges. It's more about marketing. It's more about community. For example, if Monero community is up for this, if they think that's going to be better for economics of the project, I don't know how to say it. It's not tokenomics, it's economic. If they believe it's better, you can do it. If they believe it's not, it's not. It doesn't matter from technical perspective. It won't weaken consensus or won't make it any stronger, I think.
It's interesting. I mean, it definitely gets people's attention. It's a quick, easy way to be like, oh, actually, you know, the coin supply will arguably go down over time.
Yeah, again, because whenever you burn this coins, you actually contribute this coins back into kind of back between all the holders of the coins, because the coins like the left smaller and the value is shared between all the left. So it's kind of a redistribution of the value of the project between all the holders of the coins, not to just these particular miners who was lucky to build this particular block, but to everyone who is part of this network from coin's perspective.
Right. How about the 20-minute lock time? How does Zano handle that? So, you know, in Monero, this is infamously an issue when you first start using Monero for the first time. If you receive a transaction, you can't then turn around and spend it, right? It's locked.
Yes, hello, proof of stake, guys. the reason why you have this long time for every project is because you have to make sure that it's not going to be overcome by other subchain, right? And this is kind of a good value between cost of attack and amount of waiting, like it's practical thing. And for projects like Ethereum, they have a very small confirmation time because they have a very specific consensus, kind of little bit centralized, but they have finality. So they can quickly, between like a few hundreds of, I don't know how much their validators, make communication and make sure, okay, this is final, this is confirmed. And the time of waiting is directly connected to how strong is your consensus. If you know that after just five confirmations, it will be very expensive to rewrite transaction history, you can make it 5 minutes. So that's one of the reasons we constantly work on improving consensus on Zana, because I believe in the next hard fork, we can even reduce it for 5 minutes or something like that. Because it's going to be really, really hard to rewrite transaction history, even with a five confirmation. Again, if I'm not mistaken with my ideas of this improvement. But that's illustrate the idea why consensus is important, because it gives you, you can be confident about how long you should be waiting and how confident you are if your transaction will be double spent in the other subchain.
Uh-huh.
So yes, that's another subject that's for the panel.
When you bring that up on the panel, yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah, I will bring it probably
in the plus column of, from what you're saying, that the proof of stake gives you the ability to not have to lock the coins for as long.
You can make you can consider it confirmed with a. As less blocks coming, because it's all about cost of double spend attack.
So, what is the current state of that in Zano, though? How many blocks do you have to wait for in Zano?
We do 10 minutes. Actually, we do 10 blocks by default. But I at this moment, I'm not, as I said, I'm not satisfied with how consensus is secured. I see the room for improvement, and I really, I mean, I always want to improve it, like for the I mean, it's probably a professional deformation, but yeah, I think right now we can improve it and we can reduce it to 5 minutes or something like that.
Very cool. Very cool. We're dropping some good knowledge, good things out there today in this talk, man.
It's not that even 5 or 10 minutes make much difference for me from time perspective. I don't think, yeah, for some people, it's probably a practical thing, but for me, it's most important that we, even if we leave it with 10 minutes, but for me, it's most important that to attack it, you will need like a few hundred thousand or million dollars investment to double spend it. So for me, this is more important than the actual time for confirmation. I think you can wait 10 minutes. It's fine. Even or 20 minutes, it's also fine. You can wait it.
Awesome, man. What would you say? I think I've asked you this in the past, but maybe you have a different answer now, or I don't know. What would you say how Xano differs from Tari? I don't know. I think in the past, I think you said maybe you weren't too familiar with Tari itself.
I am not familiar with the project yet. Sorry. Okay. Still not familiar.
No worries. Because I just know they're kind of aiming to be the Ethereum of the private version of Ethereum as well. So I'm just curious what the differences are. I know obviously they use like Mimblewimble, and there's going to be some obviously technological differences there, but just curious if you had an opinion.
I don't know. See, I know that I hear that they are merged mining with Monero, right? So they are proof of work?
Yes.
They are proof of work. This is sad. That's the only thing. But from other perspective, I don't really know what they do. I know that they had a bunch of good researchers there. And that's the only thing I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They haven't launched yet, so you guys certainly haven't beat on that front. I mean, you're up and running. And Xano's been around for a while now. When did Xano launch?
I think it's 5 years ago. 5 years ago.
Okay.
2019, right before the COVID.
Right. It was a fork of Bullberry. I know it was a fork of Bullberry, right?
I mean, it was continuous of Bullberry, kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we don't need to get into all that right now. I think if anybody's interested, we talked about that in our first interview, kind of the whole history of it's fascinating stuff. Andre was the first guy to program, develop an implementation of the crypto note protocol. That's fair to say? Is that fair to say? Is that a fair?
I was lead developer. I was a lead developer at the team. There was a team was working on this. I was just I wrote for Bitcoin. I wrote most of the code base, but there was a few other people who did a great contribution, including Nicholas and a few other guys
And then you went off and you started Bullberry, which eventually became...
Yeah, yeah, but I had so little knowledge about how to run an open source project, what is open source community, and I probably did all the possible mistakes that is was possible to make by that time. Also, I was involved in a tribal wars with Monero. Bullberry is a project that didn't work well for me.
But from it evolved Xano, right?
It was kind of start of things.
Yeah, very, very cool, man. So cool that you're one of the founding fathers. Any other aspects of Xano you want to put out there before we wrap it up? Like, I know we've pretty much covered a lot of the things. I think I have on my list. The only thing is like Ionic swaps, the marketplace API. That's really cool. That's very exciting. My understanding is somebody's building a Xano marketplace, right?
Yes, someone is building marketplace. I think, as I'm not good in pitching things, I think we will be making explanational video with more details, examples and explanation how it works, because we know that people don't really still don't understand what we have built. So we will be working on introduction people into this, and if someone interested, stay in touch, follow on Twitter, and we'll be making announce about this.
But the marketplace API, I guess, is just a way to interact with the Xano platform and to create escrow contracts, essentially.
We kind of with Zarkano we put on hold escrow contracts because we didn't have enough resources to bring this all together. So that's going to be re-enabled also with the next hard fork. It's kind of on hold right now, but it's going to be on with the next hard fork, I think, in a few months.
Okay. And then just
thank you for mentioning this.
Yeah, no worries. And the last topic that I had was the Ionic swaps, because if you could just explain that, briefly explain.
It's actually very simple. Yeah. We even saw the guy on the Monero Con in Prague who was making a speech about a very, very similar idea of, he called it somehow different, but this idea was not only ours, that there was other people obviously think. And that's very simple. Since you have tokens on the network, you have, for example, USDT, wrapped USDT and wrapped, or XANA, and you can make one single operation, one transaction. It's not like classical hash time locked atomic swap when you did four transactions, right? Two on both networks. This one, you can make a swap in one single transaction, and this doesn't create much of a leverage for any of the sides of this deal. So you just may agree on what you exchange on what. As soon as you agree, one person send the hexamal. Right now we have it on a very basic level, so you can send it as hex encoded transaction template. The second part, put it in the wallet, see what is the deal offered, accept or deny it. That's it. As soon as you accept, the transaction is out in the network, and in this transaction, the output goes to counterparties. So that's kind of very, very simple from user perspective.
So
it's a more
simple, faster atomic swap, essentially, with less steps.
It's more simple, and it's actually atomic. It's done in one transaction because hash time locked. Atomics, not actually atomic. The atomic at some point, but before you can cancel it on some phase. So let's see how practical it's going to be, because on top of this, we will try to build something like it's not a decentralized exchange, but something like a peer-to-peer experience. How you do it in, for example, in Binance peer-to-peer. Exchange, we will try to build something like from user experience to look like this on top of this.
Right. So just to explain it for people, what the power of this, right? This could be a way for people to go from wrapped Monero to this new private stable coin on Xano using an atomic.
In case of we got delisted from everywhere in the world, we still can create the liquidity inside XANA. We still can create these platforms to exchange one token to another.
Very cool.
So, that's I think, the value, main value. But it's just, as I believe, Ionic Swap is it would be underlying technology for something that will be on top of this. It's going to be using these swaps to some more convenient user experience.
Awesome. Andre, man, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Always love talking with you, man. Thanks for doing this. Super excited to hang out with you in person. at Monerotopia, which is most likely happening in Mexico. We just haven't officially changed it yet. So very excited for that. And hopefully some of the team will be able to come with you again. I assume they will be, right? I'll get some of the other guys. That, very, very cool. Very cool. And very excited to see what comes out of that as you interact with the Luke Parkers of the world and developers from other projects. We're going to have Amir Taki from DarkFi. We'll have hopefully the people from Firo again. So it's cool. Exciting to know that, you know, we could get all these people together. Maybe I could pick your brain too. If there's anybody else you think we should be reaching out to try to get to attend Monerotopia, please let me know. Projects,
yes, okay.
People in particular.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for letting me to be part of this. And yeah, I really appreciate it, and looking forward for Monerotopia. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Matt. Thank you so much. You want to just tell people where they could, obviously they know Zano to go to, just they could find Zano, but where they could find you on Twitter or wherever, follow you, see what you're working on.
I'm not very active on Twitter. I have a Crypto Zoidberg account on Twitter connected to Zano project, but I tweet like once in a month. I don't think I'm a very...
What if people want to talk to you on IRC or something, or talk tech to you? Where you know, are there public forums that you're hanging out in?
I'm always on Discord on the project. We always support whoever have a problems. The team was always in support. We also, on Zano Discord. Okay. Yeah, so we are awesome. Always up for help or for whatever conversation they want. That's right. That's where we are.
Perfect. They can find you there. Andre, man, thanks again, buddy.
Thank you. Right. Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this week's episode. We release new episodes every week. You can find and subscribe to our show on YouTube, Odyssey, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Go to MoneroTalk.live to subscribe for a full list of places where you can watch and listen. If you want to interact with us, guests, or other podcast listeners, you can follow us on Twitter. And please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps people find the show, and we are always happy to read them. So thanks so much, and we look forward to being back next week.